This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, everybody, stand down, stand down. The nationwide manhunt can now cease. The suspect number one, was he on the FBI's 10 most wanted list? No, not any of these murderers in New York City or Chicago that are targeting the black community in particular. No, we're talking about Bison Calf Guy in Yellowstone National Park. Remember, this guy, he committed, you know, really the number one sin in America these days. He saw a bison calf struggling in the river, and he wanted to do the right thing. He wanted to go help that poor baby bison calf that was about to die and to be swept down the river. Apparently, it had already been rejected by the herd, or it wouldn't have been floating down the river on its own to begin with. The herd already said, all right, see you later, buddy. You're out of the herd. But because the herd rejected the bison calf, because the guy who thought he was rescuing the bison calf from the river, because the herd rejected the bison calf, once again, the Yellowstone National Park officials had to kill the bison calf. So the guy thought he was saving the bison calf from the frigid waters of Yellowstone National Park, but instead he ended up being the reason the bison calf got killed. But like I say, the nationwide manhunt is now over.
At Yellowstone, the rules say you're supposed to stay at least 25 yards away from most wildlife. But a man spotted a newborn bison calf struggling to get up a riverbank and join its herd. The man pushed the calf up and onto a nearby roadway. But that act led to the herd rejecting the calf. The calf started approaching people and cars on the road, and park officials decided it had to be euthanized. A federal magistrate judge fined the man $500, and on top of that, he has to pay another $500 to the Yellowstone Forever Wildlife Protection Fund. Jill Nato, Fox News.
All right, so he gets a $500 fine, and then he has to do a $500 community service payment to the Yellowstone Forever Wildlife Protection Fund. You guys can maybe fill me in on this one. I'm not too familiar with the Yellowstone Forever Wildlife Protection Fund. Maybe a good outfit. Maybe they do good things. Hopefully they support our stock growers in the area as well. Hopefully they protect your calves just like they protect this calf. I don't know, but I always get a little leery when I hear something that sounds like a bad batch of organic free trade coffee from the Whole Foods store in Missoula, when it's the Yellowstone Forever. Like I say, maybe it's a good group. You guys can fill me in. Maybe they do good things to protect your calves as well as the bison calf. I just get suspect when it sounds like a batch of organic free trade diversity, equity, and inclusion coffee from Whole Foods. That's just I'm sorry, it's just too easy to be cynical these days. Why is a judge ordering him to give money to some outside organization anyway? I mean, you pay the fine, but now we've got federal magistrates giving money to the nonprofit organization of their choice. Even if this is a good organization, I still have a problem with that, if you ask me. All right, big news on the debt ceiling deal and much more right after this.
Here is your Montana news. Local county and state law enforcement pursued a suspect with a warrant in a high-speed chase in Carbon County. Now, this chase started in Boyd Wednesday evening when a deputy saw the wanted man in a pickup. He fled police using back roads and then raced south on Highway 212. The man and the police in five cars sped up to nearly 100 miles per hour. KTVQ gets the credit for this report because a news crew happened to catch the chase in action. Soon, a police vehicle bumped the suspect off the road, which rolled the pickup without injury to the driver. The warrant on the male driver is for aggravated kidnapping in Carbon County. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some sunny breaks early on today around the area, and then we'll see increasing clouds and developing showers and storms this afternoon. High temperatures will meanwhile stay from around 72 in Bozeman to the lower 80s in Billings. For tonight, looking at more showers along with some thunderstorms early on as well. Temperatures will drop off to about 52 in Bozeman, 58 in Billings area. Friday's outlook calling for more periods of rain and some scattered storms as well, as high temperatures will drop off to about 60 in the Bozeman area at about 69 in Billings. With more rain showers Friday night, a few thunderstorms early on as well. Temperatures fall off to about 50 in Bozeman, about 57 in Billings. So looking at more cloud cover and more developing showers and a few thunderstorms Saturday. Highs in the 60s to around 70. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride.
Identity theft or monitor all transactions. But everyone can save up to 25% off their first year with promo code NEWS. Go to LifeLock.com.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Where should we start with the show today? Well, for those of you who don't get our app alerts on your smartphone, I know we've got a few of you like, I don't have one of those smartphones. I'm smarter than that. So good for you if you don't have a smartphone. But if you do, you really need to make sure that you get the alerts from our Montana Talks app. Because I'll guarantee you, you think big tech, you think Facebook, you think Zuckerberg wants you to see the type of information that we're pumping out for you? Of course they don't. Of course it is. Some of you get really excited. Oh, I had like 100 people or even 1,000 people react to a Facebook post. Well, lottie freaking die. You can call into this radio show later this morning and you'll have about 60 times that are listening to you right when you call in. That's why radio advertising works. I'm just saying, I'm just throwing a hint out there for you if you're into that sort of thing. All right, where do we start? Well, I think where we need to start was the big news that came out yesterday afternoon. Yesterday morning in our statewide 9 o'clock hour of the show, it was great. We had Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale kick off our statewide show, and he gave his reasoning for why he is opposed to this debt ceiling deal that was announced over the Memorial Day weekend by Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy and Joe Biden. Yesterday afternoon, we shared the news. In fact, I believe we had the first actual interview with Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke, where he explained that he would be voting no on the debt ceiling deal. And he did just that. So both Montana Congressman Matt Rosendale from the Eastern District and Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke from the Western District both voted against this debt ceiling deal, and they gave their various reasons for doing so. Congressman Rosendale called it a disaster. Zinke said it's not a disaster, but it still didn't go far enough in terms of cracking down on the debt that's facing this country. So I'll play a portion of our conversation. What I had to do, I had to record an interview with Congressman Zinke ahead of time yesterday. And then we'll share that with you today. We like to get these folks on live as much as possible. It's very rare that I'll actually record something because we want to have them on live. But I also understand that given the way congressional schedules are and when there's big news like this, we want to make sure that we're flexible so that we can get you the Montana reactions. Now it heads over to the United States Senate. And the question is, well, how will Daines vote, the Republican senator from Montana? How will John Tester vote? Chuck Schumer's buddy. My assumption would be that Chuck's buddy, that John Tester will vote in support of this deal because Chuck Schumer is now signaling a support for this debt ceiling deal that was brokered, which is kind of funny when you think about it, because this is the same Chuck Schumer who refused to negotiate, who said time and time again that they would not negotiate, that all they would support is what they call a clean debt ceiling hike. Well, they were raised the debt ceiling in Congress without any other strings attached. That was Biden's position. That was Chuck Schumer's position. And looks like Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy, many of us may not like this deal. We wish it was limit save grow like they passed a month ago. But still, you got to give Speaker McCarthy some credit here, which is he was able to accomplish something that that Republicans have not been able to accomplish for decades. And now the same Democrats who sat there and said, no, clean debt hike, that's it, nothing else, are now saying, okay, I guess we'll support this. In fact, we've got the montage for you here. This came from RNC Research via Twitter. They have a montage of all those leading Democrats on Capitol Hill saying, nope, we refuse to negotiate.
We are not going to negotiate over the debt limit.
Senator McCarthy, but not on whether or not the debt limit gets extended.
Is there anything Kevin McCarthy could say that would get you to a negotiating table? Look, the president's not been going to negotiate.
It will be dead on arrival.
We're going to win this fight, and it's going to be a clean debt seal.
I think there would be a huge backlash from our entire House Democratic, caucus, certainly the progressives.
We will not negotiate. Suspend the debt limit without condition. We will not be doing any negotiation over the debt ceiling. There will not be any negotiation.
If you want to try to make it look like I made some compromise in the debt ceiling, and I didn't. I made a compromise on the budget.
That's what they wanted, because you made a compromise on the budget, and that's what you've done, even though you haven't gone as far as they wanted. Isn't that right?
Sure, yeah. Well,
with this deal, is this an admission by the president that maybe the government spent too much money over the past 2 years?
The president said from the beginning that he would negotiate with Republicans.
Do you have regrets that your party did not raise the debt ceiling when it was in the majority?
It's not...
Give me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life on that side of the aisle.
Is this a Democrat bill? Is this everything you wanted?
No, this is not a Democrat bill.
We need to stop letting Kevin McCarthy take us for fools.
Ah, there you go. Oh, the Ilhan Omar there at the end weighing in. But there you heard it. You heard at least two different sound bites from White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP. First sound bite you heard from KJP was no, the White House is not going to negotiate over the debt ceiling hike. No, we won't. Chuck Schumer, no, we will not negotiate, and we will win. We will get a clean, nothing clean about piling on more debt to this country. Or allowing as much. He said, we will win. And the same people who said they were refusing to negotiate, because that's what they've been able to get away with for the past three decades, were now forced to accept this deal. Now, I wish it was limit saved row. I'll have the response from Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke, why he voted no, right after this, and then full audio in the 9 o'clock hour.
Securing America.
It's retirement time for U.S. Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz. He's been serving with the department for 32 years. In a note to colleagues, he wrote, serving as the Border Patrol Chief since 2021 has been one of the greatest honors and privileges. He went on to add, quote, I leave at ease knowing we have a tremendous uniformed and professional workforce, strong relationships with our union partners, and outstanding leaders who will continue to tirelessly advocate for you each day. As Chief, Ortiz has managed around 20,000 agents as the law enforcement arm of Customs and Border Protection. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas praising Ortiz, saying he postponed his retirement several times, and the Border Patrol, the department, and the country have all been the better for it. Acting CBP Commissioner Troy Miller also heaping on the praise, saying, quote, I look forward to seeing him out on the water, fishing from his boat, as he enters this next and well-deserved chapter.
No one can prevent all identity theft, but everyone can save up to 25% off their first year with promo code NEWS. Go to LifeLock.com.
Most days, if you ask me, hey, Aaron, what are you guys going to be talking about on Montana Talks tomorrow? I couldn't tell you. But what I could tell you is, well, we're going to figure out what the biggest story of the day is, and we're going to want to hear what Montanans have to say about it. I can tell you that most days. Tomorrow, though, I can tell you one thing we're going to talk about. We're going to hear from Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke when it comes to this debt ceiling deal.
Identity theft or monitor all transactions. But everyone can save up to 25% off their first year with promo code NEWS. Go to LifeLock.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, returning profit back to the commercial cowman is the solid ground on which Jennifer Boca is rebuilding the commercial cattle events at the National Western Stock Show, and she has an eye on the future as well as a healthy respect for the history. With more from the Yards, here's our network's Rachel Gable.
Thank you. That's right. The commercial heifer Pen of Five and Pen of Ten show and sale will be returning to the National Western Stock Show, as well as a judging contest for producers, an ample time to network and do the business that made Denver what it is. The three-day event in the Yards, focusing on the commercial cattle producer, will include educational opportunities that will equip producers with information to firm their bottom line, diversify their operation, or otherwise add value enough to justify a trip to Denver. Jennifer Boca, National Western's Director of Livestock Operations, said they're making finding a hotel room and a shuttle to the commercial events easy for producers, too.
The stockyards in National Western was built on the commercial cattle industry, the commercial cowman. If we don't revive that and advance that whole program, then we are not viable in the industry, and we will become simply another haltered show stick show.
Boca said reviving only what once was the Yards is important, but reestablishing National Western's relevance to the commercial cattle industry and providing a return on investment for the commercial cowman is vital, regardless of whether he's there as a visitor, seller, or a buyer. For the Fence Post Magazine and Western Ag Network, I'm Rachel Gable.
All right, thanks a lot, Rachel. And she says that more details will be released soon. In the meantime, for more information about the National Western Stock Show in Denver, you can always jump online and visit nationalwestern.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. If you're in the market for a good horse, then you know how hard it can be to find one, but not anymore. For 15 years, the Diamond McNabb Ranch Horse Sale has been making top-quality horses available for everyone, from the casual trail rider to the experienced ranch hand. Join them on June 3rd near Douglas, Wyoming, and find out why so many customers return to Diamond McNabb. They're a family-friendly event and open to the public. This year's 77 hand-picked horses sell. For more information, visit DiamondMcNabbHorses.com.
Congress is preparing to pass a farm bill this year, and we need to take action. Consumers are paying record high prices at the grocery store, but farmers and ranchers earn less of the food dollar while multinational corporations rake in massive profits. That's why Farmers Union is fighting for a farm bill that promotes fair markets and protects our food security. Learn more and join the fight at fairnessforfarmers.org, paid for by National Farmers Union.
Well, the USDA cut its forecast Wednesday for the value of U.S. egg exports in fiscal year 2023 to $181 billion, or a $3.5 billion reduction from the agency's February prediction of $184.5 billion. The quarterly outlook also shows lower imports than expected for fiscal year 2023, but predicts a larger-than-expected trade deficit of $17 billion. USDA now says that it's expecting stronger exports of soybeans, cotton, and even dairy in fiscal year 2023, but it also highlighted new predictions for weaker shipments of commodities like wheat, corn, and even beef. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so this is the alert you would have gotten on your Montana Talks app on your smartphone yesterday afternoon, or you might have seen it on our various radio station Facebook pages, etc. Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke told us yesterday ahead of the vote that he was going to be a no vote on the debt ceiling deal that was announced this past weekend by President Biden and Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy. I spoke with Zinke, the representative for Montana's Western District and former Trump Interior Secretary, ahead of an anticipated Wednesday night vote last night on Capitol Hill in Washington. Here's part of what Congressman Zinke had to say. And again, this was recorded prior to the vote. He did end up voting against that debt ceiling deal last night.
Well, you're welcome. And this is one of the most consequential votes, I think, that I've taken as a congressman, both in terms of four and this one, because it's really about our financial house and how to restore it. And I can tell you, Aaron, you know, everything in this bill is not bad. There's some modest work requirement reforms that are good. There's some permit reforms that are good for Montana and our country. So the whole bill is not necessarily bad. But when we're faced with a $4 trillion debt, we're going to add another $4 trillion onto our already 31-plus trillion. I just don't think the bill is enough to get us where we want to be. So I don't think it's as you know, I think it falls short of what needs to be done. And there's a lot more work to do. So I'm a no on the bill, but, you know, up front, I commend Speaker McCarthy. I think the bill overall has some good things to it. So, you know, I don't think it's a disaster bill, but I don't think it gets us as a country where we need to be.
Yeah, very interesting. I'm kind of with you on that front where, you know, on one hand, I think we need to praise Speaker McCarthy for the fact that, look, he's been able to do, and the Republican-controlled House, Republicans in the House have been able to do what Republicans haven't done for a long time now, which is actually finally get some concessions out of the Democrats when it comes to these debt ceiling deadlines. Before, it's always been Republicans don't like it, but the Democrats do it anyway, and they just hike the debt ceiling with no other strings attached. But that being said, I still have the broader question, which is you and all the House Republicans unified around Limit Save Grow 1 month ago, a plan that reduces spending and avoids default on the debt. What happened to where we broke from that plan? It seemed, you know, were there a few moderate House Republicans who broke from the rest of the House? What happened there? Because it seems to me like we should have stood by Limit Save Grow.
You know, Limit Save Grow, again, was a more aggressive platform. And at the heart of it is this, is that when you have $4 trillion of added debt, is that, like, I look at the Constitution, everything should be run through appropriations. I think the Massey Amendment in this bill is good. But we do need to return to, there should be no automatic overdrive in any of these accounts.
All right, the final portion of that soundbite I'll play for you here right after the Fox News update, and then we'll get right into your phone calls as well.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The House passing a bill Wednesday night to raise the debt ceiling and avoid a disastrous default of Speaker McCarthy on the bill that suspends the debt limit until 2025 and cuts $1.5 trillion in spending.
Tonight, we all made history, because this is the biggest cut and savings this Congress has ever voted for.
President Biden welcomed the passage and urged the Senate to act quickly so he can sign the bill into law. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky addressing the European leaders at a European political summit in Moldova today.
Every European country that borders Russia and that does not want Russia to tear it apart should be a full member of the EU and NATO.
NATO is considering admitting Sweden to the alliance, but Turkey is still holding out. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, there we go. I thought we had a caller on the line, but looks like we didn't. Okay, I was going to go right into the phone lines. Hey, if you do want to call in and jump in on the conversation, give us a ring, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well. Congressman Zinke, I didn't notice that when I first talked with him, but now listening to our conversation, playing it back for you here, he says, I think the Massey Amendment in this bill is good. Somebody called in yesterday when we had Congressman Rosendale on the show, and they said, hey, what's up with Thomas Massey? Thomas Massey said he's going to vote in support of this deal. And I see some people on Twitter, they're like, oh, Massey's a rhino. Yeah, Thomas Massey is not a rhino. I mean, for Pete's sake, give me a break here. Thomas Massey is one of the most principled guys in the House of Representatives, and he's been there for a little while, so he's seen this game be played a time or two. It's not like he just showed up there. But Zinke said, I think the Massey Amendment in this bill is good. What is the Massey Amendment? And speaking of Congressman Thomas Massey out of Kentucky, I think he joined Glenn Beck on the radio talking about this very, very particular amendment. So I'll play that audio for you here in just a second. But here's the final portion of what Congressman Zinke was saying about why he voted no, why he was going to vote no on the debt ceiling deal as he did last night, and then Anyway, I'll play the rest of the conversation later on in the 9 o'clock hour for our statewide audience.
Congress needs to step up the plate and do their duty. And I think the first version of the bill was a lot closer. Again, this bill, there's some positive things, historic spending reductions, but most of it on the discretionary side, we're going to have to look at across the board to make sure that our house is in financial order, and it should be. That's what I was sent here to do, is get our fiscal house in the order, and I'm on appropriations, and I'm going to uphold the Constitution and Article 1. So it's, again, it's not a bad vote. It's not a bad bill necessarily. It's just not strong enough to, I think, where it needs to be for the country and Montana.
All right, and we got a full story on our Montana Talks website as well. About a minute to go before the next break. Stephen Ballantyne on the phone lines. Great to hear from you, Steve.
Morning, Aaron.
Let me pause this audio in the background. Sorry, I know you were hearing that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, McCarthy caved because there was no dealing, deal made. Aaron, the Democrats, Biden, they never even had a plan. They didn't have a plan. The only plan they had is, let's just raise the debt ceiling and we just need more money. Why did he cave? I mean, he caved. They struck a deal, but the Democrats had the upper hand now. I mean, they had it. McCarthy, he could have just held out for, let's just go a couple rounds. Let's just hold out for a couple days or something and go in default. And then let's go back to the table. Biden did not have a plan. So there's no, how can it be a deal?
Good question. Yeah, well, and that's kind of the question I was asking too, which is why didn't they just stick with limit, save, grow? All right, stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The way we pay for and provide health care in this country is a mess. There are plenty of other specialized services where the economy is allowed to function that work a lot better. Legal services, financial advice, even building a home. In health care, you can't even figure out what things cost. How do we get here? Two things come to mind. The first was group health insurance, sponsored by employers, starting during World War II as a way to get around wage and price controls. Employers got a tax deduction for premiums, but those who bought individual insurance policies did not. Group plans exploded and things like pre-existing conditions were born. Lose your job, lose your insurance. The second misstep was hospital care for those of limited income. Instead of just having government pay the bills, we force hospitals to provide care for free, allowing them to make up the losses by overcharging others. But that makes hospitals vulnerable to competitors who avoid these indigent care costs. And so government shields hospitals from competition. We're living the result. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, 406-294-0970 is the number for you. I was going to play, Kevin Cork had a good report for Fox News Radio, kind of recapping how the vote went on the debt ceiling deal last night. I thought I snagged that one. Maybe I didn't hear, but here is another report, a little scene setter for you here before we get back to the conversation with Steve in Ballantyne.
Progressives said the measure cut too much. The hard right said it didn't cut enough. But the vast majority on both sides of the aisle said if it didn't pass and the U.S. couldn't pay its bills, Washington was risking an economic meltdown. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
In divided government, we of course cannot allow the perfect to be the enemy of the good.
Republican Jason Smith of Missouri.
We have an opportunity to take meaningful steps in the right direction on addressing America's debt crisis.
The measure heads next to the Senate, where Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has said it will pass. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News.
All right, there you go. There's the scene setter from Jill Nato with Fox News. Stephen Ballantyne still with us on the phone lines here. Steve, you raised a really good question. In your words, you said, why did McCarthy cave? Why didn't McCarthy continue standing by limit, save, grow, the plan that they passed 1 month ago, which rhymes with limit, save, grow? Anyway, yeah, Steve, thanks for sticking around.
Right, it just leads back to look at how many times that McConnell, we need more money, and we had the upper hand, and he caves. He caved, three times when we had Biden and the rest of them running?
I mean, they're scampering, and he caves. And now we got Kevin. He did the same thing. We had the House, the Senate, the presidency for 2 years, and then we had Paul Ryan. Same thing. Nothing gets done. Nothing. I mean, it's getting depressing, Aaron.
Except something actually is getting done here. I mean, I get it that we would have rather had limits saved grow, but you mentioned McConnell. McConnell's the real problem here, not Kevin McCarthy. Because I'm with you. The question is, well, why didn't McCarthy just stand by limit save grow? Why did he feel like he had to turn to this new option here with this deal? Well, probably because he knew that he maybe didn't have the votes with the Republican caucus alone, and so if you just do nothing, what are the consequences of a nothing, of a no, as former Speaker Newt Gingrich put it? The Democrats get what they've always gotten, which is just another hike in the debt ceiling with no other strings attached. This is the first time there's actually been strings attached in decades.
But they never even came to the table to speak of. They never even had a plan. And then we go in there with a really good plan, and then it gets cut. Probably what, in 3/4 of it's gone.
Well, their plan was to do what the budget that they already passed last year. I mean, their plan was to stick to the plan that they already budgeted for, the plan that includes $2 trillion more in spending. So now the good question, I thought it was interesting when we had Congressman Rosendale on yesterday, was, you know, because I threw out the question to both him and to Congressman Zinke as well, which is, okay, well, isn't the real fight the appropriations process this fall? And that's I think the real questions here is, okay, with this debt ceiling deal, does it tie the hands of appropriators this fall, or does it actually strengthen the hand of, because that's where the real fight, I think, is. That's what Speaker Gingrich has said, is that this allows more spending with the hike in the debt ceiling, but it doesn't actually authorize more spending. That's where appropriating and budgets come in here. That's where the real work gets done. But that's why I think this Thomas Massie amendment is an interesting part of this equation, because Thomas Massie is no moderate Republican. Some of you might say Rhino. He's no Rhino Republican. Like, this guy is a principled libertarian/conservative of the House, and so that's why I'm interested in this Massie amendment, to see how legit this thing's going to be.
He never even went to his own people though and says, here's what Biden's offering. There was no negotiating. I mean, if he would have had any, to me, if he would have just been anywhere intelligent, he would have said, hey, I got to go back to my people. We'll discuss what you want and what we want, and then I'll come back to you. There was none of that. He just walks in behind closed doors and works with Biden, and who knows if money didn't exchange hands. We don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me at all, Aaron.
I do think there's something, I think the broader point here is the fact that Republicans – the American people were backing the Republican position, so I think the Republicans could have pressed harder. But that's just me. I'm not dealing with all these moderate Republicans that McCarthy has to deal with to try to herd cats to get this stuff through. But like, if you read the piece by Daniel Henninger in the Wall Street Journal today, McCarthy's debt ceiling deal meets Die Hard 2. He was quoting the CNN poll that I mentioned, where over 60% of the American people back the Republican position of lowering spending and avoiding default, but also most voters believe that Biden's reelection would be a disaster or at best a setback. The total for both hit almost 70% believe that if Joe Biden is reelected, it would be a disaster or at best a setback. And so these Democrats who refused to negotiate, who said nope, we're just gonna pass this deal, no strings attached, we're actually forced to put some strings on there, to attach some strings to it, because I think the Democrats knew what a bad position they were in. The American people did not have their backs on this one.
Well, I think McCarthy could have done a lot better job, and I didn't want him. My personal opinion, I think they should vote to get him out of there. Seriously, he's the one. He played the little game. Oh, please make me Speaker of the House. Make me, we'll take, what was it, from 5 votes to 1 vote? to get some articles to get him, you'll just basically dethrone him.
But who do you get in there? Who do you get in there? Because most of the Freedom Caucus conservatives, Rosendale wouldn't take a shot at McCarthy. He didn't like the deal, but he wouldn't say that they'd vote to take him out of being speaker. Because the question is, who would they make speaker? I mean, Chip Roy is the Speaker of the House on Monday. Okay, Chip, here's all the chips. Oh, yo, you're a few short on that vote. What do you do now, Chip? You know what I'm saying? So it's easy for me to sit here Monday morning quarterback this guy, but at the end of the day, this is why we need more conservatives elected in the 2024 cycle. This is why we need Republicans to take back the Senate and the White House. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I wish we had a better deal, but I also think that instead of sitting here complaining about McCarthy, we need to keep the focus on Biden and from a Republican perspective, Mitch McConnell. Because you think Mitch McConnell was going to help back up McCarthy on this? No way whatsoever.
Well, we just need to go to the election, go back to the election box, and we need to really start weeding out the ones that we don't want in there. And we need to do some research to make sure that when we elect someone to go to Congress or to Senate, we need the right people. And right now, Zinke and Rosendale, man, what a team. I'm telling you, what a team.
I agree with you. They're both doing great. I mean, I know haven't always been exactly the same on every single issue. But I think, yeah, we got a great team representing us in Congress right now. If we could just get rid of John Tester, we'd have a good team in the Senate, too.
Yeah, well, we can only hope.
Well, we can work too, but I know what you mean. All right, Steve, that was great. Thanks for calling in. That was a lot of fun. 294-0970. Let's go to Tim in Billings, and then I'll talk about the Massey Amendment after the 650 Hannity commentary. Tim, what's your thoughts this morning?
Good morning, Eric. Just kind of a counterpoint to Steve's argument that the Democrats didn't come to the table to negotiate. They don't need to. They've got the Senate. You know, every one of them is going to vote in lockstep in the House, so with the slim majority that the Republicans have, you know, and the Republicans having a independent thought being a option on their side of the aisle, they don't need to come to the table to negotiate, because they're going to get cover from the media, regardless of the fact that the American people were siding with the Republicans on this. The media is going to do everything they can to lambast the Republicans and say that they were the reason that, you know, the government defaulted or anything else. So they don't need to, do anything to show that they're negotiating in good faith or anything like that. And yes, I agree. They allowed those strings to be attached because they knew that they were in a bad position, but the media is going to give them cover. No matter what happens.
But isn't that also even more interesting now that despite the media cover for the Democrats, the American people still rejected the Democrats' position? Because the American people know what you and I have known for decades now, that the fake news media is biased propaganda in the back pocket of the Democrat Party. And the American people, COVID-19, I think, woke more Americans up to that. And the Russia collusion hoax woke more Americans up to it. So that's the good news here, from my perspective. We always want to see the good news, right?
That may be the biggest accomplishment of the Trump administration, is showing exactly how crooked the media is and how in debt they are with the Democrats. Hopefully, Senator Daines, being the head of the senatorial candidate committee or whatever the title is, hopefully he's talking to Thomas Massey about unseating the turtle.
Yeah, yeah, good call.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Maybe Kevin McCarthy, I think he made some fundamental errors here. And with the small majority that he has and the many votes, how many votes do we have before he became speaker? Like, what, 15 votes? I think he made a fundamental mistake by not keeping his caucus in the loop and communicating with them the entire time about the negotiations at the White House. And by doing so, it resulted in a lot of unnecessary anger and angst that I think could have been avoided had he sat these guys down and said, okay, this is their latest proposal. Now, if we want to negotiate in good faith, we're going to end up giving something.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
At Ethos Life, we busted all the myths about getting life insurance. Like myth number one.
Life insurance? I can't afford that.
At Ethos, we have term life policies everyone can afford, with policies as low as $7 a month. Or myth number two.
I have a life insurance policy through work. That's good enough.
With workplace coverage usually only equal to a year's salary, that won't nearly be enough to cover your family's ongoing and future expenses. A long-term, affordable policy from Ethos can give you the peace of mind that if something happens to you, your family is well covered for years to come. Myth number three.
Getting life insurance? It's just too complicated.
At Ethos, our 100% hassle-free online process can give you a quote in seconds, application in minutes, and coverage in hours, with no medical exams or blood work needed. Just answer a few health questions. Get your free online estimate.
63.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I forget who the caller was yesterday. We had a caller jump in on the conversation when Congressman Matt Rosendale was with us on the show and explaining his opposition to this debt ceiling deal. And the caller said, well, what's up with Thomas Massey? Representative Thomas Massey out of Kentucky. I want to get to that here in just a second. But first, I carried on the conversation with Tim and Billings during the break there. So I missed the great Hannity commentary. But I think it plays again in a couple hours, so I'll pay attention then. But anyway, Tim and Billings, so I asked him, you know, because he made a great point before the break. But then I asked him, well, what do you think about this deal? Because Tim and Billings came out against this early on and said, well, here we go. The uniparty strikes again. But so I asked him during the break. I said, well, so are you kind of like me where, hey, yeah, you don't necessarily like this deal. We liked limit, save, grow. But if this is the only thing on the table, they actually got some strings attached to a debt ceiling hike, which Republicans haven't been able to do in decades now. And yeah, he agreed with that front. He said, you know, it's rare that I would agree with Hakeem Jeffries, but you can't let perfection be the enemy of progress here. So that was kind of the read from Tim. He had another line. He said, oh, that's better than a poker in the eye with a sharp stick was the other line that he used. Okay, Thomas Massey, he was on with Glenn Beck yesterday explaining why he supports this deal.
I know you had some of my friends on yesterday.
Yeah.
Super close friends. And I'm not.
And you guys love each other. You're on the same side. Just we don't always have to agree with each other. This one is kind of a big one, but I respect you, Thomas. You are not a rhino and all those things. Your logic is usually very, very sound.
Well, here's where, now let me let the engineer in me speak and do the logic part of this.
Okay.
My friends, they're not saying they wouldn't vote for a debt limit increase. In fact, almost all of us in the House already have when we voted for the cut, save, limit, grow, whatever they called it, act. So they're not saying they wouldn't vote for debt limit increase. They're saying this bill isn't good enough, or maybe they're saying this bill is bad, even if it didn't have a debt limit in it. They think it's still bad. I hear their complaints, and many of them are valid. But the question is, what are we going to get if we blow this up in the House? And I've been here long enough to tell you what I think comes next. This is where I disagree with my friends. Some of them think, you blow it up in the House, and you march Kevin back over to the White House, and you put him back in the room with Biden, and he comes out with something that's miraculously better. I don't think that's the next step. I think what happens next is McConnell and Schumer say, okay, well, you guys are done playing around. We're going to get this done. And they create another pair of negotiators. They've done this before. And those two guys have great latitude. They'll pump out something that's darn near a clean debt limit increase. They'll send it over to the House. You have 10 Republicans who will cross the aisle and vote with Hakeem Jeffries, and you get a clean debt limit increase. So what we're talking about here is a disagreement, not on ideology, or even, I'm not here to say this is the best bill ever. It's a disagreement on how we go forward and what we get if we blow this up.
All right. Yeah, and I believe I shared that via Twitter. If not, you can see it at Rep. Thomas Massey on Twitter as well when he was on Glenn Beck's radio program. And I know our listeners on 970 KBUL Billings get a chance to hear Glenn Beck. He broke it down even more simply. So what was the Massey Amendment? He said, quote, "I respect opposition to the Fiscal Responsibility Act, but I am voting yes. I've been in Congress for a decade, and this is the first real bill that cuts spending. It also includes an automatic 1% cut to spending on January 1st if Congress does not pass the 12 appropriations bills." So, according to Thomas Massey and Congressman Ryan Zinke, he said that's one of the things he appreciates about it. He says he likes the Massey Amendment. If they don't get their appropriations work done this fall, then automatic 1%, the spending would be cut back to 1% automatically. So,
this is where Montana talks.
I love to spend a little time in the wood shop. You know, I took my daughter to work when she was about 8. It was father-daughter day, and we came home at lunch, and my wife said to Rachel, "What'd you think of Daddy's work?" And Rachel, being the astute, perceptive 8-year-old, said, "He doesn't work. He just talks on the phone." So getting into the wood shop on the weekends, I actually can point at something I actually did.